Czech Republic is sometimes called the land of castles and chateaus. For historic reasons, many of those monuments are owned by the state and run by the National Heritage Institute, including some of the most beautiful ones as Lednice, Český Krumlov and Karlštejn. To attract more visitors to the beautiful castles under its administration, the institute this week opened an information center in Prague. I spoke to Tomáš Brabec from the institute and asked him what information visitors can find there.
The new information center, which the National Heritage Institute has opened yesterday in the very center of Prague, is actually having two functions. First of all, it's supposed to provide visitors and people who generally like the national heritage in terms of Czech Republic, you know, we speak mainly about castles, you know, and chateaus. They can find there all updated information about the cultural program that we carry out, you know, on a collection of more than 90 buildings all around the country. Plus, they can find their literature and some other items which are related to what the National Heritage Institute is doing.
Will the center or is the center foreign friendly? What languages are available in the center?
We were actually selecting a brand new staff, you know, for this information center. So we are so far supposed to cover the biggest language groups, you know, coming to Prague, which is the German-speaking visitor, you know, and the English-speaking visitor. But you know, in the future, and this is a question because it's a very new activity, you know, and our organization is having a very little experience, you know, with such a kind of service. We would like probably, you know, to meet the language requests, you know, if you can say so, of the Russian group, which is definitely rising. I'm rather skeptic, you know, about some of the Asian languages, because, you know, we have to admit one fact, and it is that it's less than 10% of the total number of visitors of our castles, which is recruited, you know, from the visitors from abroad. So we are still mainly focused on the local clients.
Why is the Institute doing this? Do you think that people don't have enough information about what's going on at the monuments that you administer, that you run?
The main reason is that the National Heritage Institute is in charge of, as I already said, you know, more than 90 historical buildings, but predominantly spread all around the country. And what we are desperately missing, you know, is a place where people would have an, let's say, a concentrated access to our activities and information about them in the very heart of the country, which is the capital, which is Prague. Here, you know, we are running only one place, which are the historical gardens under Prague Castle. But there is simply no other location where people can find sources of information about our activities and our agenda. And the second thing is that in the past, you know, we simply had no tool in hands how to address directly the foreign visitors. In this field, we mainly cooperate, you know, with the Czech Tourism as a national agency, which is supposed to promote Czech Republic abroad. But National Heritage Institute itself had a very limited possibilities, you know, how to address these people directly. And this is, you know, what we hope is going to work a little better.
Do you have any kind of idea what impact, in terms of perhaps numbers of visitors, the new center should have?
That's a very hard question, and as I already said, you know, in this very moment, we are running the new information center, you know, in something like a testing mode, and we would like really to figure out throughout the summer holiday time what would be the expectations, you know, of our clients and the clients of the information center first, and second, you know, what kind of other tools and strategies, you know, we can simply apply in terms of addressing to the people from outside of Czech Republic.
You said that only 10% of your total visitors is made up of foreigners. Why do you think that is?
It's a very simple answer for that. You know, we have to look at the map of Czech Republic, and I think that we can quite easily see what is the distribution of these historical buildings around the country. And then, you know, if you take under consideration such effects like the popularity of the regional destinations, disregarding Prague, you know, these are not that many. It's very hard, for instance, you know, to attract foreigners, you know, to travel east from Prague, you know. It's a very hard thing, you know, and we believe that this is one of the ways how we can do that.
What can people see when they come to one of the monuments? Is it a lifestyle exhibition about what people, owners or whoever, used to live like?
This is, I think, the exact moment that we can relatively easily describe as one of the main competitive advantages of the Czech national heritage comparing to the other European countries. Because if you look at the collection of these castles that you are talking about, what makes them special and unique is that in most of the cases, they are still fully equipped, you know, with the original furniture and with the original furbishing that was there, you know, when the private owners were using these places, you know, either as a places for the permanent living, you know, or something like a summer houses, you know, if you wish to use this term. So this is, you know, what a visitor can really experience there, you know. It's like a step back in time. And this is, I think, one of the very strong philosophies of National Heritage Institute, that we are trying, you know, to show these places, you know, as if the owners left the place just 1 hour before you came there.
An interesting question that comes to mind. You said that some of the castles or some of the furnishings of the castles and chateaus are presented in a way to make them look as if the owners had left an hour ago. The owners did leave, not an hour ago, 60 years ago, because of all kinds of political reasons. And some of them, of course, sued or still suing the Czech Republic to get their former property back. Do you have a policy, like a general policy in place to explain how you came to administer these objects?
I think that the position of our organization, which is really administrating, you know, these buildings, because it is a state, you know, Czech Republic is the owner, is very much open. You know, we are not hiding, you know, the way how the state took over these places. We are explaining, you know, to our visitors how it happened, what were the historical circumstances, you know, of that. Very often, you know, it happened before the Second World War. It's just not only case, you know, of what happened at the end of the war. These are things, you know, which simply happen for us, you know. It's a one stage of the history of the place, which is in most of the cases about 300 years, you know, and more.
In 2011, the numbers of visitors dropped slightly. However, the revenues were higher for the National Heritage Institute. Are you planning any kind of new innovative ways of raising money? For example, in Spain, some of the monuments serve as hotels run by... Is that the way to go for you?
Most probably not. First of all, this is not our role to run a profitable commercial project. And we will certainly not substitute the private investors and private organizations which are running and hotels, you know, and providing other commercial services.
Among the top most visited monuments, of course, is Český Krumlov and Karlštejn. What do you think is the most sort of underrated monument? Which is the monument that you would recommend people to see, which is perhaps not as well known?
If we would like to stay in the center Bohemian region, which is the circle around Prague, we can find there, for instance, such a place like a Chateau Mníšek pod Brdy, which is one of the best presented historical building in the collection of National Heritage Institute, which is offering a lot to visitors of different age groups, including children, you know, and families, which is one of the strongest trends of this period, that most of these services are now trying to focus, you know, on the families. And I think that this is actually one of the good examples, you know, that we can talk about. But it's not the only one, because if you look at the Northern Bohemia, which is something like a black sheep of the family among the Czech regions, at least, you know, in terms of tourism, and doesn't matter whether we speak about the international or the local, and the the Czech tourism. There are also, you know, many very interesting buildings, you know, that are simply totally disregarded. And we can talk about Chateau Duchcov. It's probably a long-term run, you know, to present the castles, you know, in a way that would be efficient in terms of attracting people, you know, who are now, of course, you know, having a big choice. It's not like it was 20 years ago when a visit of a castle was almost a must. And it was one of the, even economically, relatively affordable activities, you know, for the free time. But now people, you know, they can spend their free time, you know, in the sport matches and hundreds of cultural events all around the year, which is, of course, the competition, you know, the castles.
I was talking there to Tomáš Brabec from the Czech National Heritage Institute.